This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable. Hello and welcome to episode 163 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. I'm your host, Holly Line, and today I have a fantastic interview with Chrissy Dallas all about Kindle Vella. But before we get stuck into the interview, it's personal update time. It's only been a week since I last spoke to you, so not a whole lot has happened. I did have a realisation though. I'd been trying to jump straight into working on Felix right off the back of a book launch and thinking that I could finish the first draft of that this month. But it hadn't been happening and I was upset and frustrated. But I was listening to Becca Syme on a group call the other day and she was talking about what I've always called binge writers, which is what I have resonated with for a long time. The idea is that some writers are not the sit at the desk every day and get X number of words written, consistent types. Some people are like that, and that's great. But it's not the only way to be. Some of us burn hot and bright like a phoenix, immersing ourselves in our draft to the exclusion of all other things for a period of days or weeks. And then we finish and fizzle out and have to rest. When we're reborn from the ashes, we're ready to go into another burn cycle. I've known this about myself for years. I produce my best words when I jump in with both feet and dive into a draft. Then I have to come up for air and take some time to rest and do other things to refill the well. I hope that's clear, despite the mixed metaphors. Anyway, I finished drafting The Power of Blood in July, so I thought I'd had my rest phase and was ready to write again. But I was ignoring the edits and the launch phase. Although that isn't drafting, it does use a lot of energy. And in the midst of that, I was also working on Felix as well. I was figuring out the rest of the story and fixing problems earlier in the book and all of the things I've been saying in my personal updates here since the summer. So I hadn't actually had a rest. So I'd been angry with myself for not being able to dive into big word count days on Felix and wondering what was wrong with me when actually I was just in the fast phase of my binge and fast cycle. So I've been taking a few days to just have fun without the pressure to write or the guilt for not doing so. And I have started to feel better and started to feel a slight itch to look at the manuscript again rather than being like just hating the idea and not wanting to go anywhere near it. So I think I might be nearly ready. I'm just going to take this weekend to continue chilling out and refilling and then come back up to it on Monday. I think the lesson here, folks, is that it's important that you pay attention to your own personal rhythms and cycles when it comes to writing. We're all different. Especially in November, we are bombarded with writing advice and some of it comes across as quite authoritative and universal, like write every day to maintain momentum. But it really isn't universal. Not all of us are wired that way. So find what works for you personally and ignore those blanket statements because they are not helpful. So we want to give a big thank you to all of our patrons who sponsor the show. We appreciate your support so much. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive access to our off-air banter, and the chance to join in with our monthly sessions of Sprints and Giggles, an evening where we do writing sprints, answer questions, and have a laugh. It's a wonderful little community and we would really love to see you there. So if you'd like to join in and support the show, you can do so for just £3 a month or your equivalent local currency at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. Now, on to the interview with Chrissy Dallas. This conversation was so fun and extremely informative. I highly recommend listening with a way to take notes, if at all possible. Chrissy drops a wealth of information on using Kindle Vella. So, take it away, Chrissy. With me today is Chrissy Dallas. She loves pop music, mismatched socks, and Tex-Mex food. She's wife to Dr. Sam Dallas, mom to two strong-willed little boys and a mini golden doodle, and former junior high teacher of 16 years. When she's not busy serving in her church and community, Chrissy gives herself over to daydreams and writing. She's a proud member of the writing community at Art House Dallas and loves nothing more than connecting with readers and writers of all ages. Welcome to Unstoppable Authors, Chrissy.
Hi, Holly. Thank you so much for having me on.
So you're here to talk about Kindle Vella, but let's start off with a quick journey through your writing life so far.
Oh, that twisty, windy journey. I've been a teen and YA author for going on 14 years at this point. And I have been kind of a hybrid author. So more traditionally published at times, self-published is where I'm at now. And I started with a teen and YA fantasy series called the Phantom Island series. There's five books in that series with a sixth one that will hopefully be coming out next year. I have not announced that officially, but I guess I can go ahead and just let your podcast be the first place I say that. Yeah. So it is the finale of the entire series that I've been working through for the last 13, 14 years. And so I'm really excited to finish that and have some really innovative ways that that's going to be coming to people that we're going to be talking about today. So that's one thing. And then in July of 2021, as you guys know, Amazon launched the Kindle Vella platform, which is a serialized fiction way of telling stories. Mm-hmm. And I had another book that was complete called Icarus Flight School, which is it's kind of like Top Gun meets Mission Impossible, but like in the throes of adolescence. So with all the drama and teenage romance in there. So that story was ready. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and try from the ground up, get in Kindle Vella and just try this and see how it works. Mm-hmm. And my book hit number one the first day on the leaderboard. I stayed number one in teen and young adult for the 11 weeks that chapters were releasing. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun that I was like, I'm going to do this again, but I'm going to write every week and post as I write a new book. And so that was how Wish Upon a Streaming Star got its origin. So by November, I started producing episodes on Wish Upon a Streaming Star. Mm-hmm. On Kindle Vella. And that story has always been in the top 25 faved stories on the leaderboard. Right now, I mean, most of the time I play around in the top 10. So right now I think I'm at number 8, but, and it has been amazing and has grown my readership, so much this year, has grown my network with other authors and, has just been an incredible journey. And so I'm excited to talk about all the ins and outs of that.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
Excellent. Okay. So for writers outside of the US, they may be listening to this thinking, what the heck is Kindle Vella? I mean, obviously we do hear things from across the pond, but if you could give us a quick explanation. I mean, you said it's serialized fiction, but what else is to it? What is Kindle Vella?
Right. So Kindle Vella is a way for us to provide stories in like little snackable bites, and we call them episodes. And so it's meant to be this interactive digital reading experience, kind of like you would see in the vein of like Wattpad, maybe Radish, maybe Webtoons. I've not ever been on there, but I don't know what else y'all have in the UK that's kind of similar. But so we write stories, but we upload them in episodes, which are chapters. And people pay to unlock them. So the first three episodes are free for any reader to sample, which you can imagine makes those first three episodes like hugely important because you don't want people to walk away. You want them to pay to keep unlocking. And so if they like what they're reading and they want to keep going, they can purchase a token package. There's different, you know, packages and amounts that they can spend. Obviously, the more tokens you buy at once, you get a little bit more of a discount. Mm-hmm. And then they can redeem those tokens on any story on the Kindle Vella platform. So let's say they start a story and eventually they're like, I'm not really into this anymore. Well, they can still use those. They can go use tokens on any story, or they can have several stories going at once and they can put their tokens where they want. Mm-hmm. And the tokens range based on word count. So however many words you have in your episode, so they can be between 600 to 5,000, mm-hmm. Then your tokens would be like either 6 to 50 tokens to unlock that, which right. a lot of times kind of calculates out to about 1 cent in American money. I'm not, so anyway, it's meant to be interactive. We have, polls that we can put at the end of each episode that readers can click on and answer questions. We get a little space at the end of every episode for an author note. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really neat thing, because that's where I get to be Chrissy Dallas and kind of get to share my heart, the inspirations that went into what I wrote, or why something was particularly important to me, or just silly stories from my life that impacted what went into the writing. Mm-hmm. So I love the author notes, but it is also a little bit of pressure every week to come up with something cool to say. Be like, okay, what else can I say here? But that's what's fun. So my readers get a little note from me. They can engage in polls. And then just recently, in fact, just in the last week, Wish Upon a Streaming Star was selected to beta test the commenting feature. So now they have opened it up where underneath each episode, readers can go and start commenting on what they read. It's been super fun, but it's like having another social media in a lot of ways. You're there on the platform to engage. Mm. So that's kind of how it works. I'm trying to think. Oh, and I will say this, like Kindleville is super competitive on the author side of it. So there is a leaderboard on the main page that shows the top faved stories, and this is selected by readers. And so that's kind of a cool thing, because it's not necessarily just based on sales or something that Amazon has chosen to put up there. It's what readers have voted are their favorite stories. And mm-hmm. so every week, a reader that pays to unlock tokens with token packages that they've purchased, they get a little crown called a fave, and it will pop up and ask them what's your favorite story of the week? Who do you want to crown your fave? And so they can pick whichever story they've been reading mm-hmm. and give that fave to that author. And then those accrue throughout the month for authors. So we don't know how many faves we get, but we watch every hour that leaderboard changes, and we're moving around constantly around each other. And so then you can kind of, you know, see, and obviously the higher you go, the more visibility you get and more people find your story. So it's a very competitive game, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I was thinking it really is gamified, isn't it? It's, mm-hmm. Which is obviously going to appeal to some people more than others. Is that Absolutely. One of the things that has attracted you to it or kept you there?
I don't know that I've been attracted to the competition so much as I like being on the cutting edge of something new or trying something new. Like I like to get involved in things from the ground up and kind of help establish the culture of it. And so, and that's like true of me and other like roles in my life. So, you know, with this, it was kind of like, this sounds cool. You know, like it's a risk. It could not work or it could be great. I don't know. But I wanted to get in and try it. And so I do, I like that. And I like that they keep rolling out new features, and I'm just thrilled that, that they allowed me to kind of help beta test the commenting to see kind of how that goes. And, so yeah, I don't know. I also think that being on Kindle Vella and having to write in such a way that you want people to keep unlocking your story is very different than like my other series that's more traditionally published, because, you know, people buy that book, I get the money, they walk away, whether they like it or read it, I got paid, you know, like that kind of a thing. But on here, at any time, readers can walk away from your story. And so I like the personal challenge of like helping them come back. Like, how can I be a strong enough writer and craft a story that is going to make them want to keep coming back for one episode a week. Because that's kind of how we roll. That's how I roll it out. Some people do two or three episodes a week, but I do one every Saturday night. And I want those people to be able to come back and be excited to read. So it makes me a better writer in a lot of ways, because I've got to have a strong hook. I've got to have good writing and be really intentional about how I'm doing things.
Yeah. And so your Wish Upon a Streaming Star has been running for a year now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. We just had the year anniversary in November. Yep.
That's so exciting. So how do you like sustain, you know, the momentum and that the relentlessness of putting out an episode every week?
You mean on a personal level? How do I sustain it? Yeah. Oh, man. You know, you would think that. And when I jumped into this, I'm like, oh, it's just a chapter a week. I mean, you know, I can do that, but it's not just a chapter a week. It's the revision and editing and publishing and polishing and publishing process all in 1 week. So you have that going on, working with an editor all in 1 week, and then all of the promotion and marketing that goes into every week to communicate to your readers, hey, there's another episode coming up. Here's a teaser. You know, and then being available when they've read it and they want to come back and talk about it. So it is a whole lot more than I realized it was going to be. But again, like, I think that the competitive nature of it and also just the reader interaction kind of sustains me sometimes, because, you know, as a writer or whatever, it's like you can work on something for so long and it doesn't see the light of day or get into the hands of readers maybe for years. Mm. And there's times where you can get really kind of like, oh, why am I doing this? You know, you labor so much in the writing process for something that won't be appreciated until later. With this, it's a fast turnaround. So it's almost like kind of an instant gratification of like, okay, I've written this. Now I have people waiting to read it. And so it kind of like, it's a cyclical effect, keeps me going sometimes. Like, you know, if nobody was reading it, I'd probably be like, oh, what am I doing? You know, but it is a very enjoyable process. And no matter how big or small your audience is, to know that you have people that are coming back to keep up with the story, like we do with TV shows, or we used to back in the day, right? Before you could binge them.
Yeah.
Like, but we used to, I mean, back in the day, you would come back every week. You had your nights, you would sit down and watch that TV show. And so it's kind of works like that. And I think that's, you know, why they call it episodes, and we have seasons and, you know, it's a different, using the different buzzwords, but still all in the entertainment industry.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I mean, yeah, we almost exclusively binge things now, but, with Disney Plus, because they usually drip their new content, we as a family, we sit down, like at the moment it's like every Thursday lunchtime to watch Andor, and before that it was She-Hulk, and you know, so we're still kind of doing that. It's not gone completely to a complete series being released all at once.
And I mean our family is the same way. We would do that with The Mandalorian, you know. And that was kind of fun for us to capture that with our children again, who don't understand that process, where we're like, oh, there's no episode, we have to wait a week, you know. But again, there's something about that suspense of waiting, but also again, you have to make sure that you are producing some kind of content, just like they do on these shows, right? In the book form, some kind of content that is going to capture and want people to remember throughout the week. Hey, I kind of wanted to go back and see what was going to happen there. It's definitely challenging.
Sure. Do you think that the platform lends itself better to one genre over another?
Well, we have all genres on there. But I will say romance is pretty heavily taken in or consumed on Kindle Vella. And I think a lot of that has to do with characters. Like what I have found, and this is true of probably all of my books, but especially in this, like if people feel close to a character from the get-go, from the episode one, if they find characters that they already can relate to, or that they want to follow that journey, they will stick with it. And so romance lends itself to that because you have this chemistry kind of going on. You have the romantic suspense of things, but there are all kinds of genres. And even within romance, there's all kinds of genres. Like Wish Upon a Streaming Star is romantic comedy, but Icarus Flight School is more thriller, fantasy romance, science fiction, mystery. There's teen and YA. So there's all kinds of stuff there. Mm-hmm. But I do think, yeah, romance sells pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Radish is obviously quite an established platform doing a similar kind of thing for romance. So it stands to reason if there's a readership who are used to that format of story consumption, that they would move to Vella as well. And it's a ready-made audience, right?
Mm-hmm. And we do have some crossover. I will say, to be on Vella, you can start on Vella and then you can move to other places behind a paywall, but they're pretty strict about their content. Mm. So like none of my former books that are already published, I can't move those on to Vella if it's already been published, but they do allow some crossover, but you have to do it carefully and behind a paywall.
Mm-hmm. So like on Patreon, for example. Is that the kind of thing? Right. So you couldn't have something on Vella and then publish it as a novel on Kobo or Nook or anything like that.
You eventually can. Yeah, you can put it in a long form if you want. But if it's on, I guess I should have said, if it's on a another serialized fiction platform, it has to be behind a paywall. So you can't offer it for free somewhere else. I think it's after 30 days, when you have at least 10 episodes, you can put at least 10 episodes together minimum into long form, and you can publish that on Kindle Unlimited or in other places.
Okay.
So they do allow for that. In the very beginning when they started, they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, oh, okay, am I going to give up Icarus Flight School just to Vella and never be able? But I had this like kind of hope in the back. I was like, they'll hopefully change their mind, but I was like, I just felt like it was the right thing anyway. So I went for it. But they did eventually change that policy. So, Icarus Flight School is now on paperback and hardcover. I didn't do an ebook because for me, I really wanted to send digital readers to Vella for now. Mm-hmm. So if you want a digital experience, I really want you to go check it out on Vella. But a lot of people will go and do ebooks, and then they'll say, okay, if you want the sequel, I'm writing it over on Vella right now, so you can come over to Vella and be part of the sequel writing, which is a great use of going kind of back and forth and getting your readers to cross over.
Mm-hmm. Have you found that people who find you on Vella then do go and read your other books that aren't on Vella? Do they cross over?
Yes, I have seen some crossover, probably not as much as I would like. I'm working kind of on some ideas to help with that. But for sure, it's definitely affected people going over and finding my other series.
Mm-hmm.
And also finding me on social media or interacting on my newsletter. So that's the other thing, way it's kind of grown. But yes, the cross sell does happen, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you talked a bit about how what the reader's experience is with buying tokens, but how do the royalty payments work for authors? Is it like a fund like Page Reads in KU, or is it a royalty? How does it work?
So there's two parts to how we get paid as of right now. The first is the royalties. So for every the tokens that are spent on each episode, we get half of what was spent. So let's assume that maybe they bought a token package where it ended up being like 1 cent per token, and you have a episode that's 20 tokens to unlock. Well, then I would see 10 cents of that in my royalties. And so that's how it goes for each. So you get paid per episode. Like I said, the first three episodes are given for free as a preview to readers to sample. Then Amazon right now has an ongoing bonus program where they look at the reader interaction, the amount of faves you get, the amount of times you post, the amount of followers, the amount of likes. I mean, there's a whole formula that they have that we don't know. We just know it kind of encompasses all of those things. And based on that, we get paid monthly bonuses. So that's been where most of my money has come this year. And in fact, like, I've never made less than four figures in a month. And that has gone up and down the range of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I'm a former junior high teacher, as you said, I made more the first year on Vela, twice as much the first year on Vela that I made as a teacher. So that's been, yeah. and I'm so thankful for that. You know, I don't say that to brag in any way, but to encourage people that you can, if you get in there and you work hard and you produce a good product and you do the social media marketing and you do all the, you know, cause I have invested also in ads and Facebook ads and Instagram ads and things like that. So I'm also investing from a business perspective, but I've grown my readership, but I've also seen the fruit from it as well. Mm. So that's been kind of cool because for 14 years of being an author, I mostly just made enough money to keep my business afloat. You know, it was never really to take income in. It was just to kind of keep going with it. Mm. And so for the first time ever, I'm making income on it.
Mm. Yeah, that's fantastic. And I do think it's important. Obviously with Unstoppable Authors, our whole ethos here is to keep going because it can be really hard. And when you're not getting those sales, it can be really discouraging. But anyone can have success at any time. And if you haven't had heaps of success before, doesn't mean you never will. And this is a fantastic example of a new platform that's come along that obviously really works for you. And you found your tribe of readers there, which is awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think too, just never discredit the years that you're working hard, maybe not seeing the results that you want. But I mean, I am not the same writer that I was 14 years ago. And to be honest, if I was jumping onto Kindle Vella back then, 14 years ago, with the skills that I had, I don't think that I would have been on the top of that leaderboard. My product wouldn't have been as strong. So I'm not in any way discrediting the years of experience that I've had working on my craft, learning who I am as a writer, learning the market, learning, like, you know, all of those things and practicing all of those things. That's a huge component of the success I'm having now. I think it's really easy to look at people sometimes and go, oh, well, they're just an overnight whatever. But really, there's usually lots of time spent before that trying to get to that point. So you just don't get to see that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you talked about developing your craft there. So let's talk about that. Is there anything different about writing episodically compared to writing a complete story before you publish?
Well, you know, good writing is good writing regardless. But I will say there's no time to be spent in this medium. There's no time to be spent on excessive story description, backstory, setting. I mean, you really, from the get-go, you have to hook people from episode one, because that's really kind of that's the shopping experience. I kind of think about when I see how many episode one reads I get, to me, that's an indication of how many people came into the bookstore that day, you know, that passed by my book. And some of them read it, some of them may not. They may have just gone to the landing page and been like, oh no, that's not what I was looking for, or whatever. I don't know. But then you want them to go, when you start seeing them come in on episode two, okay, so now they're sampling it, right? They're shopping, they've picked it up off the shelf, something about the cover, something about it like appeals to them. And then, you know, then you want them to keep going. They get to episode three. Well, if they get to episode four, then they're buying it, right? Because they have to pay tokens to unlock that. So if I get those episode four unlocks, then I'm super excited, because that means that they have now gone to the counter and bought the book. Now then I got to keep them coming back. So you definitely want to plan hooks in those first three episodes that are going to keep them going past the free stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But then your biggest thing, your turning point, your inciting incident, whatever, has to happen right there, episode three, so that they will want to know, okay, how is this going to play out? And they should, in those first three episodes, have a pretty good indication of who are these characters going to be, what kind of world am I in, what story am I going to be getting into, and the tone of it. So first lines are important to that. They set the tone you know, my first line for Wish Upon a Streaming Star, you know, has to set like a romantic comedy enemies to lovers tone. And it does. And hints at that. So, yeah, I mean, the writing process really has, you have to be really intentional to have a hook in every single episode. So even after that, again, because I want people to keep coming back to read, they paid to unlock, but I want to keep them coming back. So I'm always building questions, something new, and then answering certain other things that we had built, always building the tension. I remember worrying in Wish Upon a Streaming Star when I got to the first kiss, because I'm writing teen and why I was like, what if people don't want to come back after that? Because like, finally they kissed, we got there, you know, it took us this many episodes. I can walk away happy, you know, because like there's still lots of story left to tell. So I immediately had to, and I won't say what it is, but I immediately in the same episode had to like have this point of suspense happen, mm-hmm. that brought the stakes of the kiss like even higher. And then we go into this mode of now we can't tell anybody we kissed, but we're on live broadcast all the time. And so we have to, so now we've gone from enemies to lovers who are kissing, but now we have to pretend in front of everybody for the sake of the cameras that that didn't happen. So it's a whole new level of, mm-hmm. you know, romantic suspense and things that they're having to conquer and deal with. So it worked. But I remember thinking through that and going, okay, like, how do I keep this tension going? We're not to the resolution yet. I knew where I was heading. So for sure, like it definitely changes how I write, trying to keep people hooked. And I think, again, I feel like it's been a really good writing challenge for me and made me, a bit stronger in some areas than I was before. Pacing and, you know, the cliffhangers and the hooks, mm-hmm. all of that. It's been a really cool exercise in that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So have you got your story planned out? Do you know where it's going, or are you discovering the story as you go?
So for Wish Upon a Streaming Star, that came to me pretty fully formed in the sense that I knew I wanted to write an enemies to lovers thing. He's a YouTube star. She's his neighbor, and they have this history where they grew up as best friends. Something happened in the past that now they hate each other. And then they get this mysterious challenge to basically reenact cliche famous movie scenes for 48 hours on his YouTube channel. And if they can do the challenges as they're sent to them, they'll get $500,000 to split. And of course, they both have invested reasons for why they need to do this. She needs the money. He needs more subscribers and views. And mm-hmm. And so I always knew like what the challenge. I mean, I had a list of what the challenges were going to be. I always knew what the ending was going to be and how we were going to get there. But obviously, in the writing, I just let the characters kind of tell the story. So I had no idea I'd already be at 70 episodes here going into the finale. it's the length of two books at this point. Mm-hmm. So people have been hanging out with these characters for a year, you know? So yes, while I had it planned out in what it was going to be, I didn't necessarily know all the twists and turns we were going to take to get there. And that's the fun part of being a writer, is letting those characters come to life in such a way that they tell me the story.
Yeah.
But I will say, I hadn't planned to do a sequel for Wish Upon a Streaming Star, but because of the reader interaction, I started discovering that my readers kind of had an interest in the main character's older brother, mm-hmm. Who is 10 years older than him and is the sheriff of the town. And I think it's because I have so many adult readers. There's really not a lot of teenagers. I've always written for teenagers, but there's not a lot of teenagers on Kindle Vella because you have to have your own Amazon account to sign in and participate. And even my 19 to 29 year old age range, according to my polls and my story, is very small. It's most of my readers are 30 years old and up. So I think that might be why the older brother, you know, became this person of interest. That makes him sound like a criminal, but you know, like became this interesting character that is kind of crush worthy. And so as the story progressed, I started going, you know what, maybe I need to write a sequel, and maybe it needs to follow his journey with all the things that are going on with Kaz and Daisy. And so that's what I'm planning to do. And I haven't announced that officially either. I'm telling you all my secrets today, Holly. I mean, I've teased it, but I haven't like made the official announcement, but yeah, there's going to be a sequel. And so that's a cool thing. Like, I don't know that I would have done that if I hadn't had the reader interaction to know what people were interested in and kind of where the potential for the story could go.
Yeah. So did you imagine that this story would run for a whole year, or has it sort of just taken on a life of its own?
No, it took a life of its own. No, I had no idea. I think, you know, I think I'm probably one of those people that kind of overestimates what I can do. I'm like, I can do lots of chapters a week. Oh no, like one chapter a week is like, now I have had some double episode releases here and there. But a lot of times those are because like I was writing these long scenes and then I was like, okay, it's too many. I don't want to go beyond like 32, 35 tokens unless it's like a scene you cannot interrupt. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be like, okay, we could chop it right here and make it two easy episodes for people to consume, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I knew it was going to go for a year, but it's been such a fun journey that I don't want it to end. I'm like sad I'm at the end of it. But also proud. It's, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to go, man, I wrote the equivalent of two books this year and produced them and edited and revised and worked with an editor and all this. I mean, like, yeah. It is kind of a cool thing to kind of step back and go, wow, I had no idea I could be that productive in a year. So until you challenge yourself, you don't always know what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So how does it work working with your editor then? Like, I mean, do you have someone on retainer? Like, how does this work?
Okay, well, she's awesome. First of all, you really have to find somebody who's totally awesome and who's probably a little crazy enough to dive into this world with you. Mm-hmm. So my editor, Katrina, yeah, she and I basically keep a Word doc, I mean, a Google Doc open between us. Mm-hmm. All week. And so I write, and then there'll be a certain point where I'll text her and be like, okay, I'm ready for you to go look at what's in there. And sometimes I'll be writing and I'll see her pop on to spy on what I'm doing, you know. she will then kind of, you know, make comments about things like, hey, a little bit more here, or I think you could probably change this wording, or sometimes she asks me questions that are really helpful, like, what are you saying? So I get like, okay, if she's confused, then I need to definitely fix that for the reader. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how we do it. And then she makes live changes. And the cool thing about Google Docs, you know, is you can see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I've actually learned a lot studying her changes and why she changes certain, sometimes it's just phrases or words, or she makes me more concise in certain areas. So it's also kind of, which working with an editor anytime, I feel like every time I've worked with an editor, I've gotten a little sharper on things. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because it's sharpening me in some areas that I'm like, okay, I won't make that mistake again. Mm-hmm. And then there are some things I just do. I'm just always going to do certain phrases I always default to and repeat. And she's like, get rid of it. but yeah, it's a living, breathing process like throughout the week. So if you're committed to having an editor and making it the most polished it can be, which I recommend if you're going to be on Kindle Villa, I mean, the people at the top of the leaderboard are, some of them are New York Times bestsellers already. And some of them have, you know, most of us are professionally edited mm-hmm. before we put things out. And that's because we want to present our best product. You know, you don't want to sell yourself short because you've got grammatical things, or just the storytelling can be stronger. So, and I still have things because it's such a fast turnaround time. I still have things I go back in the episode. I'm like, I want to fix that. Like I could have made that better if I'd had more time. So for sure, before I put it out in any kind of long form, I would definitely want to go back through and just, you know, kind of re-edit it all again, just to pass over.
Mm-hmm. So I hate to have to ask, but how do you get a break?
You take a holiday? What's a break? I know, it's terrible. Like, you know, there's honestly, like, if you're going to write it the way I am, which is the crazy way, each week as you're on deadline, Yeah, you have to either get ahead of it and schedule your episodes ahead of time to come out so that you can take a break, like especially if you're going on vacation. I've tried doing this a few times. I haven't been super successful. I'm literally on vacation sometimes still hitting publish, you know, always like, sorry, kids, I just got to open the laptop for a second. Or you just communicate to your readers. And that's the great thing about the author notes, right? Like, or in social media, I just communicate to my readers, hey guys, running a few days late, it'll come out, which I've had to do, a few times this year, but I've never missed a week, like in a fave opportunity week, because the faves, do expire in a week. So each reader gets one a week, but then it expires if they don't roll, you know, give it out. So I always want to have a new episode coming out within that week, so that they have the opportunity to crown me. And they can crown me even if there's not a new episode. Like if they're reading something else, they unlock it, it'll still pop up. My story is one of the ones they've read. They could still choose. But I mean, a lot of times you want to give it to the story that you're currently invested in, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. If you can get ahead of your schedule, I recommend that. So for anybody out there that is thinking about joining up on Kindle Bella, once it's made international or once it goes international, like, you know, definitely have a manuscript ready to go. that will help significantly so that you can be working on marketing and polishing and all those things. But like I said, there is also kind of the fun of my readers kind of help indicate how the story is going. I mean, like, you know, I listen to them. If they're wanting something or thinking about something, it's kind of sometimes changed the direction I want to take it. The story is still ending and going where it's supposed to, but sometimes you're like, oh, well, I could make that more clear, or I could, you know, based on what they say. So it's kind of a fun thing to let them be part of it too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I love that. And that's something I really don't get with my current platform, is that instant feedback and that, that rapport with readers, which, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting lots of little dinging light bulbs talking.
Are you getting excited, Holly?
I am. Oh my goodness. I had a question in my head and now it's disappeared. What was I gonna ask you? Oh yeah, so would it be advisable, especially for someone new to the platform, to sort of plan a set length for their story and then take a break and then do another one? Do you think that could work, or would you risk losing readers even between stories?
So I think those kinds of things are always going to be up to the individual author, right? So for me, I did not ever, and that's my, you know, my personality is like, I cannot miss a week. And so I pushed myself to get that done every week, but I've already told my husband, like, I'm like, after this finale, babe, I might need to just take a month off and get through the holidays. And, you know, because that it becomes like a mental health thing at that point. Like, I think I need a breather, and then I can come back refreshed and produce content again. And I know that if I do that for that month, I mean, obviously my stats can drop, you know, and I have to just be okay with that. So I think you have to go, what am I going to be more okay with? Like not producing content and watching my stats fall, or, you know, whatever. So, but a lot of people do, and it doesn't always affect in huge ways if you have a lot of momentum going. So there's been lots of authors on there who walked away for several months because they went and did other projects, came back to that story and started producing episodes again. Well, it sends out a notification in the Kindle app to all the readers, hey, this story just posted a new episode. So then their readers came back and they've been on fire, and have just shot right up the leaderboard. So, so it's not like it can't, you know, that it can't be done. But yeah, you just have to kind of weigh what's best, and then you communicate that to your readers. So I'm already planning, like, if I am going to take a break, I'm planning to kind of say that in the author note, hey, sequels come in on this date. We'll be back, you know?
Yeah.
But people do write in seasons too. So sometimes they'll take a couple of weeks break, 2 or 3 weeks, but in between a season. So they get to a certain point in the story, pause for 2 or 3 weeks, and then come back and do the next season. So it's still a long game as much as it is like the weekly game, you know? So I think as long as you're consistent and communicating with readers, I think you can make anything work.
Mm-hmm. And can readers still discover a story even if it hasn't produced a new episode in a little while? Is there a way to browse the interface, the store?
There is. I will say on that's one of the things, the level of visibility, that's the game really right now, is to try to be the most visible on there. So when we upload a story onto Kindle Vella, you get to pick two main categories that you want to be in. So let's say if you are writing romance, well, then you want to pick a second category that defines, you know, if it's romance and fantasy, romance and humor, you know, romance and science fiction, whatever. For me, it's romance and teen and young adult. So those are the two categories that I can become visible on, depending on what other stories are in those categories and how they're doing. Mm-hmm. Then you also get to pick 7 tags for each for your story. So those tags are, there's a list of popular tags on the front page. And you want to probably pick some of those that are the most popular ones. So then if people click from that front page onto a tag, then they'll find you in that lineup there. So that's another way to get visibility. But then you might also want to pick tags that are just like specific to your story, whether they're showing on the front page or not, mm-hmm. you know, that will give people more information about it so that people who like that kind of trope, or so some people will use like enemies to lovers, young adult, you know, I've used humor on mine. That's a popular tag, adventure. Mm-hmm. And so then people can kind of browse those titles. And then again, you have more chances of visibility within the tags as mm-hmm. well. And then your overall popularity stats just shoot you up. So however many readers you're bringing to the platform, how many times they like your episodes. So I guess I didn't mention that at the bottom of each episode, there's also a little thumbs up mm-hmm. that people can give you. And so that kind of contributes to your popularity stats as well.
Right. Okay. Wow. It sounds like there are a lot of sort of metrics to track and different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it a time suck? Just, you know, full disclosure, is it really easy to just end up spending all day obsessing about your numbers?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, that's what we do, right? We've literally had days where, like, especially like on days when they're going to announce the bonus, we're like, how many times have you refreshed your dashboard today to see what your bonus is, you know? Yes, and you can. And that's a conversation that many of us have, you know, in some of our groups where we're kind of in these Kindle Vella community groups, that we've just said, you know what, you don't let the numbers define you. Like, you can't. So we want to be mindful of how we're doing, especially if you're there to compete, you're there to play the game and to be successful. But not everybody is. Sometimes, I mean, people want to just produce their work and for the people that are going to be there to read it. And, you know, but we can't. I think that where authors grow discontented is when it becomes about the numbers and less about the experience, right? Mm. So absolutely, it can be a time suck. And especially now that I'm into comment beta testing, like, oh my goodness, it's like 70 episodes of going back through and going, okay, who commented where? Did I reply? What do I say there? You know, so it is like a whole other social media. So I'm finding that I have to treat it that way and go, okay, this is my writing time. I am not getting on the internet. I am not going to click over to check the dashboard or my comments or Facebook or Instagram, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just like anything. You will have to go into it having some boundaries in place and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And so how do you drive your readers over to Vella then? You mentioned earlier about wanting to keep your digital readers going to Vella rather than KU or other stores. So yeah, how do you get people there?
So first would be having a strong social media presence. I've really worked hard to continue being consistent on social media. Amazon KDP actually found me because I was having success on Vella, and their author engagement team found my social media. And even though I don't have the most followers out there, I'm not like the most popular author, and I'm not the top author in any way, but they noticed that for where I'm at, like, they really liked some of the engagement things that I was doing on my social media. And so they asked me to write an article about that. Well, so I did, just sharing, here's what I do. I mean, you know, I'm not an expert, but here's what works for me. And so then they sent that out, and that's really, they sent that out in their newsletter, and that's really how I got on other podcasts or was discovered there, and then found my way to you, Holly. So social media is huge, and just watching that grow, and bringing, so sometimes it's readers coming from Vella to my social media and then pulling them off of there, which brings me to the second way, is the use of ads. So I run Facebook and Instagram ads on Wish Upon a Streaming Star. And that has been a game changer, because readers will click on that ad and will start binging what episodes are there. And then they stay with me. Mm-hmm. Miracle of all miracles, they come back each week and they complain about it, but they do. So that's been kind of my driving force there. It's just kind of, you know, being available for any kind of interviews or, you know, producing content on my social media, interacting with readers, and running ads.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, like with sort of a long running series, the more episodes you have, the better ROI you will get on paid ads that take that traffic to that first episode, right?
Right. Because if you get one, I mean, if you get one binge reader, right, then they go right on through the whole thing. So it doesn't take a whole lot of binge readers to, you know, get those numbers going. Mm. But yeah, so it's also a two-sided thing, because you're like, some people are like, well, do I want to pay this much money to go in for this many episodes? You know, when they say, yeah, there's kind of a sweet spot sometimes with the episodes. If you have too few, they're like, are they coming back to keep writing? Are they, when's the last time they posted? Like, am I going to get invested enough in the story for as it is right now? So I do recommend to anybody starting out on Kindle Vella, you know, they had told us in the beginning at launch, like they really recommended having, I think they said like, you know, 15 to 20 episodes ready to go. And I think I started with 15 episodes already on the platform. When I started Wish Upon a Streaming Star, I did 5, and I kind of wish that I would have done 8 to start with, like when I kicked it off. So I would say, you know, having 8 to 10 episodes for the, when you first launch it, so that way people can get those 3 episodes, the free ones, and then they have more to go in, and then they're a little more invested so that as you keep coming back each week and get into your routine, then they'll follow you with it.
Yeah. Awesome. So what do you see in the future for you and your platform?
Ooh, what do I see in the future? 2023 is going to be big for me. I've got a lot of plans. So do you mean like for me personally, what books I'm doing or
yeah,
what?
And just for how you're going to use the platform. Are you going to change what you're doing? Are you going to stick with what's been working?
Yeah. So one of the things I am planning to do is obviously the sequel to Wish Upon a Streaming Star. Like I would like to keep that going. Mm-hmm. And that would be like my same, you know, what I've been doing, keep going with that story. I've worked really hard and spent thousands and thousands of dollars on ads, getting people in. And so those people are following that story now. So that's a way to kind of keep going with that. I do have another project that I would like to bring to Vella that would be designed to help bring some of my KDP Kindle Unlimited readers over to Vella for a interactive digital reading experience. And it would be kind of a like, hey, if you want to be part of the process of me writing this, then you can be part of the process, or you can wait until it comes out on paperback. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kind of be a little upfront with that and kind of see how much crossover I can kind of bring between the two, because I really feel like it's just different ways of reading. And especially now that we're implementing comments and things like that, we're finally getting Kindle Vella to not look so much like just another ebook database. It's really when you're paying to unlock episodes, you really are paying for the experience of being close to the author. You know, you're paying for the experience of interaction. And so I think I would like to really capitalize on that in a way to create more of that experience for my readers that want it. And my readers who just want to take their paper back home and, you know, go, then they can go, because I know now after this year that I can be productive and write more than I thought I could in a year. And so I feel like, okay, well, let's try this other project because it will hold me accountable to getting it done. And it will provide an interactive experience for the people that want to be part of that journey with me. And then it will end in a, you know, paperback hardcover that people can take home that want that experience. So trying to get those to work together for my productivity and also just for the benefit of my readers is kind of what my next phase is, I think, on this, if that makes any sense. I don't know if I explained any of that well, because I'm trying to be careful what I say because I haven't made official announcements yet. Ollie's like pulling it all out of me.
That's a gift.
It is. I'm going to like confess everything to you. You don't want to know everything, Holly.
Oh, just wait till we get to the last question.
Oh, great.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. And that is definitely going to give me and hopefully lots of our listeners lots and lots to get stuck into. I'm going to put a note on the start of this and advising people to have a pad and paper ready because note-taking will be required. Yes. So can you just tell us where our listeners can find out more about you and your books?
Yes, you can find me. ChrissyDallas.com has links to everything. So it has links to all my stories. It has links to, my book events and things that I'm doing. There's also a fun quiz on there that you can take if you want to know what Phantom Island tribe you would be in if you like fantasy and want to know more about yourself. So there's some fun on there as well. But ChrissyDallas.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. You can pretty much do at Chrissy Dallas anywhere, TikTok, whatever, YouTube, you'll find me. It's not, there's nobody else by that name as far as I can find. So, and I would love to connect with people, especially, I'm excited for our international friends to hopefully someday get to come over to this. And I really do encourage you out there, if you have a project that you're like, I'm just not sure what to do with it, or maybe it's not ready, I mean, start getting it ready, because when Amazon drops this in international laps, man, if you can get in from the launch, that you stand the most to benefit. And I really think that that was what helped me with Icarus Flight School being complete. I got to go in, I got to think about how I was going to market this from the get-go, and I had my readers activated and ready to get me up on that leaderboard, because my strategy was always, I want visibility on the leaderboard, and that has served me well. So I think you go in, you get your strategies in place, you get your story ready, make it the best it can be. And when it's time, just go play. You can't, I always think you got to take risks sometimes, it's like, it is a risk. And, if it fails, it fails, but that means there's another adventure right behind it. So
absolutely.
I just don't let anything stop you. We are an unstoppable author show right now.
Absolutely.
So be unstoppable in your dreams and in what you can produce and do, and try something new.
Fantastic. Okay, so here at the Unstoppable Authors Podcast, we always finish off with a would you rather question.
Oh no.
So Chrissy, would you rather listen to your least favorite song on a loop for a whole year, or never listen to any music for a year?
Oh, listen, I love music. There is absolutely no way I could stand to be without music. So I guess I'm going to have to go with least favorite song, which might be that one Christmas song. If we're going to get detailed here, is it Paul McCartney? That's the Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I can't stand it, y'all. So I guess if that was the only thing, I would just simply have a wonderful Christmas time the rest of my life if I had to choose.
Well, it's only for a year though, so then you're free. Oh, okay. And you can listen to anything.
Thank you. For a year, I could do it. Awesome. I'm really good at tuning things out.
You could just wear earplugs so you don't to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's loopholes here. I can tell.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, thank you so much, Chrissy, for coming on the show. It's been an absolute delight speaking with you.
Thank you, Holly. You've been a wonderful hostess, and I really appreciate you reaching out.
You're welcome. I loved chatting with Chrissy. Her energy was really infectious, and I feel so excited to try Vella when it becomes available to us here. I love the idea of all of the engagement with readers that's possible on the platform. So I hope you got lots of ideas and information from our conversation as well. Let us know on social media if you enjoyed it and are inspired to try serialized fiction. Remember that if you want to join us for Sprints and Giggles and get all of the other benefits, you can do so over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. And don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.